Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour as we continue to talk about a pioneer, a pioneering spirit. Listen, awesome pioneers have gone before us. It's time for gone in our past. It's time for us in our future, in our present, to be the pioneers for this generation. Joining me in this talk on VFN Radio's Extra Hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
I mean, you think about them. Pioneers. Dr. King, we talked about in the first hour the commitment card that you had to sign to be able to walk with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It was amazing. There was 10 commandments, and it's just like the words of the Lord. I mean, it's like just if we just did those 10 things at the church today, that's how we would respond. We're confusing this thing called conservative movement with a godly movement. Somebody told us this is the Republican Party. That's God's party. What are you talking about? God has his own party. He's not a Democrat. He's not a Republican. He's not an independent, right?
That's right.
He's God. Above him, there is none other. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me in the Extra Hour to continue this talk about a pioneering spirit is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Man, I'm just like pumped. Can you just feel it? You know, it's just time. You know, it's time for the pioneers to rise up in this generation, right?
That's right.
You know, think about it. We're talking about pioneers and different pioneers. And we talked about, you know, George Washington and General George Washington, President George Washington. He's not on our dollar bill because he was just the first president. He's on the dollar bill because they were going to call him king. I mean, he was the one that was a pioneer that was willing just to do what it took to be able to bring about this great idea called the United States of America. And then we started thinking about more closer to our day and time is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a pioneer. I'm a minister of the gospel in Georgia, but just an apostolic call on him to be able to do a pioneering entrepreneurial work in the kingdom of God, to be able to stand up for justice for all. And it was just beautiful. We talked about that in the first hour right there. And I'm just pumped about it. But I am want to say I'm excited about, you know, John Carney's going to be joining me from Oregon today. Hopefully we'll be able to share with you some comments. Maybe he's going to spend some time with us sharing how God is using him in Russia and in Africa. So look forward, hopefully, to John Carney, my brother, being able to share his heart with us. So you think about a pioneer. You know, Dr. King was a pioneer. George Washington, President George Washington, General George Washington was a pioneer. He was the first general and also the first soldier in an army that didn't exist.
Wow.
You know, where's all the soldiers? Well, I haven't asked you to join yet. The question is, will you join me in this battlefield of ideas? Will you join me in this pioneering work? Well, I'll join you when, you know, you got like a nation or something around you, George, right? And this is like, well, that's not pioneering work. That's a follower. Pioneers, yeah. They say, listen, you got to have it in your heart, and they carry it. I want to say the definition of a pioneer, because it's going to take a pioneer in this generation. We know about pioneers in past generations, but who are the pioneers in this present generation? A pioneer is a person or a group that is the first to do something or that leads into the development of something new. George Washington, Dr. King, right? Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. A person who is one of the first from another country or region to explore or settle a new area. I mean, think about this. I mean, think about the pioneers in America when basically everything was in the settlement of America was the east side of the Mississippi. But when the Louisiana Purchase came, there was people that said, listen, I want to be a pioneer. I want to be a pioneer. I want to go west of the Mississippi. And they began to go where no man other than the First Nation people had already gone there. And they're going to begin to settle and develop. And they look at a whole forest of trees and say, what do you see? And some people say, I see a forest of trees. But a pioneer says, I see houses. I see a city. I see lumber, you know. And then somebody else says, you know, I see that over there, this ground. What do you see there? Somebody says, I see a field. And he says, man, I see food for the next 50 years.
Mm.
And then somebody else says, what do you see out there? He says, I see wild animals. He says, I see protein. that's going to be able to provide for our people here. A pioneer just sees things totally different. And somebody who's not a pioneer goes, I see a lot of work.
All right.
And then a pioneer says, I see hope because we need to be able to settle in this new area. And because of those pioneers, by the way, for our listeners that are listening, everybody west of the Mississippi, those pioneers, that's why we have states like California and Nevada and New Mexico and Texas and North Dakota and South Dakota and Kansas. I mean, you go on today and name all those states. That was west of the Mississippi.
You think about it, California is the fifth largest economy in the world. It wouldn't even existed today.
Outside of pioneers. That's right. Outside of pioneers, right?
That's right.
Just what's going to exist in the future? If we take this call, if we decide to be the pioneer, you understand, to be a pioneer, I mean, you don't have a whole bunch of people around you. You're the one looking at people saying, listen, come on over. Listen, what you're doing is not going to work much longer. Come on over. This is where we're supposed to be. This is the new settlement. So in the same way, when you think about it, and we talked about in the natural sense of those pioneers like Edison and Einstein in the natural sense, the Louisiana Purchase, think about those in the spiritual realm. I mean, think about it. Here was, you know, mankind. They were, populated the earth and just doing a lot of bad things. And then all of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, God speaks to one man. He puts in the heart of this one man a vision for something different. His name was Abraham. And Abraham believed God. He says, okay. And he had to believe him from the inside because there was nothing on the outside yet. Mm-hmm. That's a pioneer. And then he says, you know, he believed God. And God says, man, I'm going to account that to you as you were just in right standing with me. You're just, I mean, the fact that you were willing to be a pioneer for me. And he began to walk where he didn't even know where he was going. As he went, God was going to show him when he got there, and God was going to speak him on the journey, and he's going to go to a place that of where infertility was rampant in his relationship with his wife. They could not have any children at all. And God was talking to him. He's going to have so many children that you can't even count. If you can count the stars in the sky and the sand at the beach, for example, or in the desert, then you can count his children. He's like, I can't even have one. But he was a pioneer. He believed God against all odds, even against all hope, and hope he still believed. And listen, as a pioneer, you got to be that person. When you're marching down the street like Dr. King, you have to understand, he didn't know if that was going to be his last moment. But you know what? When he said he'd been to the mountaintop, I believe he had an encounter just like Abraham had. He had something inside of him that he knew the outcome, the ultimate outcome of what he was doing. Right. He wasn't looking just for a natural land. He was looking for a spiritual land. He says, I've been to the mountaintop. I've already seen what it looked. And he began to describe the visual of America today, which was not like the America then.
Yeah.
And in the context of that. So Abraham, you know, began to walk that out. And he was a pioneer. And because he was a pioneer, God was able to pull from himself a people outside of the present population that was on the face of the earth. And they became the apple of his eye, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob is Israel. We see Israel today. But that was because Abraham was a pioneer. He was willing to step out where nobody else has stepped out before, in a place that you don't even have a grid for, and to follow God, who's going to show you when to get there because you've got this vision inside of you. Isaac and Jacob were walking off the faith of Abraham because it was Abraham who stepped out. If he didn't step out, even though Isaac and Abraham may have been born, for example, they would have been in the culture that God wanted them to separate from, and they would have become just like everybody else. A pioneer is willing to go where God wants them to go so God can do what he wants to do. When you think about Joseph, I mean, Joseph, here he is, just tending his father's sheep, doing what he can, but all of a sudden, God just drops in his spirit a vision of his future and what's going to happen. He began to share it, and it just took a hold of him. And then this pioneer named Joseph was willing to go through great suffrage. You think about it, great suffrage with the betrayal of his brothers and bondage of enslavement, being wrongly accused of a sexual crime and then imprisoned for it. His credit being stolen when he was in jail, but yet he gave the interpretation of the dream. But when the cupbearer goes before the one that could have got him out, he didn't even bring his name up. Mm. I mean, he was a pioneer. He was carrying inside of him something that was going to be used by God to be able to be number two. Here he's a prisoner, accused of a sex crime he didn't commit, but it was written over his head.
Mm-hmm.
And He was in prison, rejected by his brothers, but he's going to be the number two guy in Egypt in the future.
Yeah.
I mean, he was going to be Morsi Jr. You know what I'm saying? He was going to be the number two guy. And you just, how could this ever be? But he's a pioneer. He was a pioneer. See, he stayed faithful to God through all of that. And that's what a pioneer does. When all these things are happening and all these things are coming against you, a true pioneer goes, well, I'm just not going to do it then because, you know, forget about everything west of the Mississippi. I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to live over here in New York, or I'm just going to live over here. And, you know, it's like, no, pioneers, like, I'm driven. I'm going to stay faithful to God. Even when everything inside of me or outside of me looks the opposite, I believe on the inside of me, what's inside of me is going to come out. And even to the point when he stood before Pharaoh, he was just willing to just to be faithful to God. And they chose him to be able to be second in command because he interpreted the dream, because Pharaoh told him the Lord had shown him that there's going to be famine in the land. And here he was, the pioneer that was going to go, the first pioneering food pantry for Israel. Wow. This huge gathering of food where everybody began to bring food in. And he's the one that measured it out and kept it. And just everything started coming in. And then all of a sudden, God speaks to bring his family who are out in the wilderness, and they begin to come closer. And then all of a sudden, this pioneer is doing exactly what was inside of him. He's taking care of his brothers, his father, and all their families. And he's even got a place of protection for them. He's got the authority to be able to do it. And they're more than glad to fulfill the dream. At first, they didn't want anything to do with what God had said, but they were more than happy to bow at his feet and say, you know what? Don't kill us. We're cool with that, right? And then he says, "What God meant for, what you meant for evil, you know, God meant for good." And he understood that. And we're looking for pioneers today. Who's going to be the pioneers for today? Think about King David. He was a pioneer, you know, a man after God's own heart, all out by himself, worshiping God. But God knew him and called him. He said, "You know, you're going to be a pioneer for me." And he was the first loyal king to God. Think about it. And he was so loyal and such a pioneer of leading God's people right that Jesus himself came from his offspring.
Mm.
I mean, think about that. That's beautiful. Is that not beautiful?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
so beautiful. And, of course, Jesus, think about it. Jesus was a pioneer when he came and brought salvation to us and paid the price and painted a way for us to have a relationship with him and God forever. And he painted it in his blood. He was a pioneer. Listen, it did not exist. There was not salvation before Jesus was born and walked this earth in a sinless life and died on the cross and was raised from the dead. Listen, outside of that pioneering work, we were lost and we were condemned. But he was a pioneer. He carried the love for you and the love for God in his heart. And he began to manifest in his own life and God through him a way to God. And then he painted and developed the land to right now. He's building mansions just over the hillside for you. He's building places for you, a place that we could have never gone. But because of his pioneering work, we're going to be able to go to heaven and live with God forever. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and we're going to rule and reign with him. But that was impossible outside the pioneering work of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And then you think about the pioneering work of Paul. You know, Paul was just on his donkey headed to Damascus, about to destroy and kill and enslave and ridicule the church. But you know what? When God touched him, and God, and just he didn't know God existed, and he didn't know, he thought he was serving God, but he found out I wasn't serving God. But when he got the call of God in his life, he says, listen, you know, you're going to carry the gospel, this good news, this pathway, this future, this new way, the new way of walking in God to the Gentiles. He did a pioneering work for, if you're not Jewish, you're the Gentile. You know, if it wasn't for Paul and the pioneering work and his willingness to go out and begin to believe God for the Gentiles, you know, where we wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
He was a pioneer. He carried it inside of him. He was beat, and he went back in the city that beat him. Mm-hmm. He laid on piles of rocks, probably trying to catch his breath. And listen, there was no rescue or no ambulance coming out to pick him up and doing first aid. They had to shake it off and go on. That's really scary. Lord, help us, strengthen us, God. You know, think about it. He was a pioneer, and he just went. He got on ships that wrecked. He was willing to go to prison when he didn't do anything wrong. He was willing to begin to cast the gospel at the king who was trying to do away with him. I mean, just it's amazing. He was a pioneer, writing letters and going to cities where the church didn't exist and exploding that was inside of him, and did a pioneering work in Ephesus and and all these different cities, and all of a sudden the kingdom began to spread to the Gentiles. Why? Because Paul was a pioneer. I mean, you think about Dowie and Amy Semple McPherson, Mariah Eder, A.A. Allen, John G. Lake, over 5,000 churches. 5,000 churches in Africa. He was a pioneer. Listen, he encountered God. He got healed. He realized that this God that people talked about is real and that he heals, and he began to walk around in a kingly and priestly anointing, and healing houses opened up all around America, and 5,000 churches were planted in Africa. Why? Because John G. Lake was a pioneer. Catherine Kuhlman, a pioneer, willing to live in chicken coops, sleep in chicken coops,
wow,
to sleep in tents, to be able to do whatever, die 1,000 deaths. What? To be able to be a pioneer. A pioneer. Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, and so many more. I mean, think about it. Pioneers. But this is the question. This is the question. Who will be the pioneers for God in this generation? The generation that you live in. When God says, who shall I send? Do you look around the room? Or do you say what Isaiah said? Here I am. Send me. Who will be the pioneers who will bring the good news of the kingdom of God to this generation? Who will be the pioneers who will just step out from what's held God's people captive, who is disempowered the word of God, where it's a powerless gospel because we let men's traditions nullify its power? And the captive church is held captive by men's philosophies and traditions. And then who is going to say, you know what? These are false teachings. These are heresies. Listen, we need to move on from where we are. It's not as complicated as religion has made it out to be, and it's not as frivolous as the rebellious has made it out to be. It's a tension between a loyalty to Jesus and living and loving mankind for Jesus. Who will be the pioneers who will let God impart into them his direction for this generation and lead them, lead his people into this next season? Who will be the pioneers who will help today's church move forward and prepare for this season that we're about to face? Who are the pioneers? When God says, who will be the pioneer? Do you look around the room? Do people's names come to your mind? Do you think historically? Or do you step up, throw out your chest in a humble way and say, God, here I am. Here I am. I'll be a pioneer for you. And you have to understand this. This is why a lot of people say no, because they always want to be in the crowd. But let me tell you, this is what Jesus said. Wide is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and few find it. Listen, pioneers walk through the gate, even if you got to turn sideways.
Mm-hmm.
The needle, the gate, they walk. They're willing to walk. You got to walk this walk. Don't listen to this wide road gospel that's out there that's saying, hey, we can just live in sin and we can do all these different things. It's no big deal. Listen, we're at a major turning point. But you know what? God always raises up pioneers, people right, that are willing to say, here I am, send me. But you know what? What does that mean? It's inside of you. It's the calls inside of you, and you're going to have to lead by your example. You're going to have to go cut the trees. You're going to have to go plant the soil and plant the seed and begin to paint what a city looks like and what this next move of God looks like and what's going to happen with the empowerment of all of God's people and the abiding relationship that says, listen, it's truly when God says that there's a day's coming when you'll hear the voice of the Son of Man and you shall live, and that my sheep know my voice and follow none other. Listen, this religious stuff says you don't have to know the voice of God is a lie. But it's not hard to hear his voice if you'll quit listening to the voices who are not listening to God. This pioneering work is you have to be willing to be alone. It can be lonely in a place of leadership, but believe me, aren't you glad that Oral Roberts did what he did? Aren't you glad that General George Washington, President George Washington, did what he did? Aren't you glad that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. did what he did? Aren't you glad that Abraham did what he did? Aren't you glad that Joseph did and David did? And aren't you glad that Jesus did what he did? Aren't you glad that Paul did what he did? Pioneering works. The question is, what are you going to do in your generation? Are you going to be a pioneer? If you are, we would love to hear from you.
We have a great way for you, our VFN Radio listeners, to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
We're family. Did you know that? God has called us to be family. We're called to be the family of God. It's Father God. It's not like King God. It's Father God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is our elder brother. Yes, he's our Lord and our Savior, but he's the firstborn. He's the head of the church. He's our elder brother. We are not, we're heirs of God, not heirs of Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus.
That's right.
We're family. We're sisters and brothers. That's why we're supposed to love each other. The family of God. I remember Jesus was sitting around with his disciples in a house, by the way, and he's teaching them about the things of God. Mm-hmm. And his biological mother, Mary, and brother comes to the house, and they're knocking on the outside of the door. And they said, and of course, they're talking to each other. Mary and her son's talking and says, oh, my goodness, Jesus has lost his mind. They really thought, Jesus lost his mind.
That's right.
They lost his mind, and he hasn't eaten. He's been a long time since he's eaten. We need to go rescue him. We need to rescue him from his ministry because he's lost his mind. Don't you know this is supposed to happen in a temple, not in a house? And this goes on. And then Jesus, of all the things he said, this is very important. He said, and somebody comes out and said, yo, your mom was outside, you know, and yo, sir, no, yo, your mom's outside. And so Jesus stops and he pauses. He looks at the disciples and he's talking to them. He says, listen, let me tell you who the family of God is. Mm. Let me tell you who my mother and my brother is. Those who do the will of my Father. Yes. Oh, more than anything, you want your biological family to follow God. But the truth is, you have no control over them. You tell them the truth and you honor their decision. Listen, the true family of God is those who follow his teachings, that have a desire to follow Jesus. See, the church is a family. Get into your, right now where you're at, in your fellowship. Say, listen, we need to start being family.
Mm-hmm.
And if people just still relate to you like sand, like organizations, like an orphanage, you know, just get your food, sit down, shut up, don't know nobody. Listen, find a fellowship that functions as family. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. Maybe there's a church in your area. Maybe God has planted in your heart. So, you know what? I want to begin this in my own city. Check it out. VineFellowshipNetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same.
You know, VFN Radio and VFN TV, you know, we are a Christian. We're Christians bringing to you a conversation. We're not a news core. We're just saying, you know, what's going on from what we understand and just kind of sharing our opinion about it and what God's laying on our heart. We believe that God speaks through his word. We believe God speaks through dreams and visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And with that, we bring together sometimes what we call God's news behind the news. What we're doing is bringing to you based on what we personally have experienced or feel in our heart, because God's word says every man knows in part and prophesies in part. And we're encouraging you, hoping to stir, you know, what God's saying to you inside of you, that you can hear that. We're not saying that we are a news organization. Things that we're talking about, that we are hearing, that is our opinion that we're sharing with you. And God has an opinion, you know, and we're trying to tap into what he's saying and hopefully, you know, being able to share that because of his word. And so I just want to clarify that's what VFN TV and VFN Radio is. We're here to encourage you. It's to the church, which are believers. We are speaking out to those that have gone astray, and we're kind of encouraging you to come back, and those that are being led to the Lord. I mean, God's drawing you, and we're talking to you. We're not speaking at large to, you know, whosoever. You know, we're actually talking to those that God has as his own, that he's drawing to himself, and those that have gone astray. And we're just sharing our opinion, you know, what God has laid on our heart.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. We were talking about pioneers. You've got to get
the last part of the first hour and the first part of the second. But you also get the whole segment on highlights on your application at VFNTV.com. You got to understand. Listen, I'm excited to tell you that, you know, you've been looking over both your shoulders trying to find out who was the one that God was calling. And what you're finding out is all you have to do is say, here I am, send me. God's not looking for golden vessels. He's looking for willing vessels. Believe me, he can prepare you. Right?
Yes, he can.
Right? Yes, he can.
He has the ability to take a heathen like Abram, who had all these idols in his house and all these different things, and just one word from him could begin to just explode across the earth. And and don't worry about that. He's just waiting for somebody to say, here I am, send me. You are in Christ. You are the answer. You are the answer. And the thing about it, if you didn't hear the Ten Commandments, the pledge, the commitment cards that, you know, Dr. King, a pioneer, he had his people that were going to walk with him. He's like, if you're going to use my name, I better find the card. I'll call them up, you know, the rotary down. Do you see a card in that Rolodex that has, you know, Malcolm in there? No, Malcolm, you're not. So you got to hear it. It'll really, really encourage you. As mysteriously as it came, it went. And so with that, you know, it brought great destruction. There were so many people dying in the world. I don't know, it was maybe 40 million or so. But 100-something thousand just died in November alone of that month during that plague. And people were so toxic that the mailmen wore masks over their faces. Nobody wanted to breathe. Everybody stayed away from everybody. But there wasn't even enough caskets left, you know, for the people. But you had to remove the bodies from the house because they were toxic and everybody would get sick. So they started laying the bodies in the streets. This is in America. This is in the early 1900s when this was taking place. Mm-hmm. And they said, as mysteriously as it came, it went.
Right.
And that there very well could be, you know, a Passover, you know, the coming across the land. And I want to encourage you. This is what God did, though. He said, listen, you know, and he told Moses, he says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go take the youngest lamb that is spotless, that has no damage to it. You know, it's not deformed or anything. It's the perfect, the best of your mm-hmm. litter. And I want you to take it, and I want you to kill it and take the blood.
Right.
And I want you to take that blood, and I want you to go out in front of your house, and I want you to put the blood of that lamb over the threshold and on the threshold of the door, which is like the door jamb that's around your house today. Imagine that, you know, and God's saying, here, I want you to put the blood over outside like that. So you could see everybody's doorway, you know, would have that blood of the lamb, like God said, put there. And so then this huge plague, if you would, that is going to kill the firstborn of every child there, including Pharaoh's and including God's people, if they didn't obey.
Right.
And it came over the land, and all of a sudden, just like God said, this specific plague that just attacked the firstborn, it killed all these babies. But when the angel of death came and saw the blood that was on the doorposts of the houses that listened to God, that were God's people, it passed over. That's what I call it, passed over. It passed over those houses.
Wow.
And so they were spared because they obeyed God and they applied the blood to the doorpost of their house. But listen, this is the new covenant. Jesus is the Lamb of God.
Mm-hmm.
There is hope, but you're going to have to listen. God's people had to listen. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they had to say, listen, we have to understand that there's a sacrifice that's taking place. It's the sacrifice of the Holy Lamb of God. And it's not the doorpost of your natural house, that we are the houses of God. And then if you'll take the blood of Jesus, if you'll repent for your sins and not just throw blood on sin, but say, God, I've sinned, I've fallen short of the glory of God, and I want you to be the Lord of my life, Jesus. And then take that blood will be applied over the doorpost of your heart. And then whatever happens, whatever passes over this land, when God shows himself mighty, understand that it will pass over you.
That's right.
It'll pass over you.
That's right.
Your safety is under the wings of the Lord God Almighty. Your safety is in the arms of God. Your safety is under the blood of Jesus Christ, not the twisted gospel that's being preached today that you can just throw the blood on something and it's automatically right. It's a decision in your heart to make Jesus the Lord of your life, and you follow him. And with that, you say, Lord, forgive me, wash me, cleanse me. And all of a sudden, that blood is on your heart, and you can walk boldly with the shield of faith, which quenches and annihilates all the fiery darts of the evil one, and you can stand strong. But let me tell you something, and it'll pass over you just the way it passed over Israel. It will pass over you. You can hold strong to that if you do what God says, and you have to hear that God speaks and prepare yourself. Yeah, but with that, understand this, that there's stuff that is about to happen on the face of the earth that David Wilkerson, who's gone to be with the Lord right now, describes it as David at Ziklag. And that's when there was so much loss in David's life. There was so much devastation in David's life. David was just obeying God, and everybody just came against David. Right. David was one who honored God's anointed and did what was right, but everything came against David, and he was just surviving, you know, and doing what he had to do to be able to survive, to do what God's called him to do, as we talked about before on the program. But on that, they were in the place called Ziklag, and in Ziklag, they left all their belongings, you know, in one place. They left their women and children in that place and left a few men there, and then kind of went to go do battle that they had to do, didn't want to do, but had to do. And then when they came back, they found out that they lost all their stuff and their things and their wives and their children. And then not only that, you know, David, who's just trying to survive and do what, you know, God's told him to do, the very ones that he, the left-handed, broke, busted, disgusted, the people that were not even, you know, valuable at the moment at the time, but they were valuable to God, that he raised them up to get to the place they needed to be, they turned on him.
Right.
And they started saying, it's your fault. You led us out here. You know, it wouldn't be like that. We'd be like everybody else. And then just started turning on him. And so he had to encourage himself in the Lord. He had to encourage himself in the Lord. And he did. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He remembered the wonders of the Lord. And I encourage you, if you have not yet, take the time to begin to write down the things that God has done in your life. You know, wake up every day with a heart of gratitude and acknowledging God. You know, this is a moment that you're going to need to recall, and what's about to happen, it's going to be like somebody punching you in the gut, you know, your spiritual gut. Like, that's what happened to David. And he was just devastated. He cried too. He couldn't cry no more. He was just, you know, totally let out, if you would. And then he realized, I have to remember the wonders of the Lord. I have to remember what God has done. You know, and what I have is a shelf of remembrance, you know, where I get things and stuff to kind of glance at to remember it. You know, I got encouraging, I got journals, you know, where I'm keeping, you know, the things. And I not only write in my journals, but I tape things, like something happens, you know, whatever it is, and that I can, you know, kind of thumb through those and just remember, you know. And you need to get your encouraging yourself in the Lord package together now. I don't know if you have an hour. I don't know if you have a day or a week. But understand this, if you will do this, when you regain your composure, when you regain your strength, when you get your strength back, you know, God's going to lead you, and he's going to restore to you everything that was taken from you, because David was able to go back and to restore, gather everything that was stolen from them, his wives, his children, his family. I mean, how many people today, you know, you're losing your family, you're losing your marriage, you're losing your business, you're losing everything, and you're like, your spirit is just weeping and weeping and weeping. And it's like, you got to begin to encourage yourself in the Lord, because you're going to have to do something. There's something you're going to have to do to be able to participate in getting that back. You know, I know I'm just talking to you this morning, but I just want to encourage you. I want to prepare you. I don't want you to be shocked. You know, understand that God is speaking. You need to go to VFN TV. You need to watch God. God does speak. You need to watch God does speak. It's 90 minutes recorded, a conference call of ministers around the nation talking about what God is saying that has happened, is happening, and will happen in this nation. And if the church does not turn back to him, this is what's going to happen. You know, and one part of that is a strategy against our very own president, and we have to pray protection over him that this does not take place. You know, and it's not the will of God for that. He takes pleasure in the death of no one, and that's the enemy doing that. And the enemy's wanting to turn this nation in on itself. It's wanting to take our United States Constitution, which acknowledges all of our rights come from God, that Jesus is the Lord of America, and just wad it up and throw it away. And let me tell you, you haven't read your Constitution lately, but if you understand that, if you understand your Constitution, your First Amendment right says Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
The second that thing is gone, if it's gone, it's going to be a church state again. It's going to be the way it was when we came from England. You know, when you think about Russia right now, it also says in the First Amendment that we have the right to peacefully assemble no matter where it is and petition the government. We have a right to tell the government, hey, what you're doing is not right. Well, guess what happens? You can no longer gather anymore. Mm. You know, just like it's happening in Russia where Putin's made a law. And you cannot say, hey, this is not right anymore. Do you really want to do away with this Constitution or the Second Amendment? I'm sitting here right now with a coin from the National Rifle Association. And that was just a flicker in our power. We're back up again. And that from the National Rifle Association, because they are the strongest First Amendment, one focused organization probably in the history of America where they focus on the Second Amendment. And it says in the Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and to bear arms shall not be infringed upon. And so you think about it, that we have the right to have guns and use those guns to protect ourselves and to protect our nation. That is a right that you have to be able to do that. And so that if that's done away with, what does that mean? They can come and take your guns, which means without being armed, there is no freedom.
That's right.
There is ask the criminals, because they break into homes now, you know, but they know you have no weapons. They're the only ones with weapons, and they'll come in.
Absolutely.
Or you think about this, the Fourth Amendment. How about this one? Third Amendment. Do you want to do it with the Third Amendment, which says no soldier shall, in the time of peace, be quartered in any houses without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. In other words, how it was in the beginning, they could kick your door of your house in and they could take over your home and all your food and your stuff. And that's a recent law. I mean, America's a new country. And do you want to do away with that, with all of a sudden, you know, two soldiers kicking your door and sit on your couch and, you know, and eat your food and tell you to go outside or fix me something? That's how it'll be.
Mm-hmm.
Or how about this one? Do you want to do away with the Fourth Amendment? The Fourth Amendment is this: the right of the people to secure in their persons, houses, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, effects against unreasonable search and seizure shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon the probable cause supported by an oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place of the search and the person and things that are going to be seized. Realize that they can just take anything, stop you, search your wallet, search your computers, search your bank accounts, search your paperwork. I mean, how about that one? Do you want to do away with that one? How about that one? How about the Fifth Amendment? Do you want to do away with the Fifth Amendment? This is the Fifth Amendment. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise crime unless or a presentment or an indictment of a grand jury, except in cases rising in the land or naval, talking about naval type things are going on. Nor be deprived of their liberty or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. In other words, they just can't take your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That you cannot be charged of a crime. And that was a summarization of that. And, you know, unless you actually have, you have to be specifically charged, and there has to be due process. Well, that means they can just start telling you you're guilty and they can take you down. How about that? You want to do away with the Fifth Amendment? How about the Sixth Amendment? With the Sixth Amendment is, you know, in all criminal prosecutions, an accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial. What does that mean? You do away with the Sixth Amendment, they can trial you behind the corner somewhere in some staircase and have you hanging from a noose somewhere, right?
Or wait 3 years.
Mm-hmm. You know, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall have the right to a speedy and public trial, because that way everybody can watch how you're being treated.
Mm-hmm.
And by an impartial jury of the state and district, where the crime has actually been committed, so they can't ship you off to some place, you know, where people can't have, you know, empathy for what's going on.
Like what they did in England, they were shipping those people back.
That's exactly right. And on, you know, which of those six do you want to do away with? You know, do you really want to do away with those? It's just those six amendments.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You know, and so understanding that we have to, but it's, we're not going to be able to, if we don't fight for the church and fight for what's right and turning to God, it doesn't matter if we're fighting for God. It's not going to work.
That's right.
But if we will repent and turn our hearts to God, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. And just maybe God will give us America back. Maybe God will cause our eyes to look again upon the documents that he's gave our founding fathers. It's just amazed the world, because they can't take over the world, because this thing called the U.S. Constitution is just affecting everybody, because it's been one of the most blessed, powerful economies in the world, because we've acknowledged God in our original founding documents, and the enemy's trying to take down God so they can take down the acknowledgement of God, so they can take down our Constitution. But if we, the church, allow them to take down God, realize that don't think you're going to have your Constitution. If we deny the sovereignty of God, don't think that America's not going to have to give up their sovereignty. Do you think really God's going to let us keep our sovereignty as a country, as a nation, if we say God's not sovereign?
Mm-hmm.
We, as the church, have to stand up and teach this. The people, you know, have been taught other things from the school systems, have been taught other things from the pulpits, that God's not sovereign, that God doesn't speak, and that he's not speaking today. But God does speak. He'll speak to a man clearly, and he'll warn us and turn us away from where the consequences of our behavior are going. You know, what do you want to give up? Do you want to give up the Word of God? Do you want to give up the Bible? Do you want to give up your body and relationship with him? Do you want to give up your Constitution? Do you just want to give up the knowledge of the sovereignty of God? You're going to give up the sovereignty of your nation? I encourage you, listen, God is warning us, but there's hope. A warning means a shot being fired over the bow of a ship means it didn't hit the ship. It's just saying, hey, listen up, turn. And that's what's being said right now. You got to see God does speak in VFN-TV. You can get there at VFNTV.com.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. What was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. We had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats
to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John.
I remember, do you remember the time that we were, you know, taking all these mentors and the fatherless and whatever out to the wilderness, and we were raising money? You remember that? I don't know if I have time to talk about this. I might not have time to talk about it. And one of us came up with came up with an idea that said, you know, we need to have a raffle. We need to have a raffle. And, you know, we'll raffle off something that, you know, something that Americans might like, a TV.
Wasn't that John's idea?
Oh, that's right. That's right. It was John's. I'm sure it was John's. Mute his mic. It was John's.
Yeah.
And I said, but listen, if we're going to do this, John, I said, if we're going to do this, this is a raffle. It is not a lottery. You know, it is not a lottery. And I said, didn't I say over and over? This is not. This is not a lottery. This is, we're just going to, you know, $1 for a ticket or whatever. You get a chance to win a big screen TV or something like that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, here we were on TV. We were on TV. And I sat there and they said, well, tell us what's going on. And I said, well, we're having a lottery. I mean, God had me eat so much crow. A lottery. I said, we're having a lottery. That is so funny, you know, that, you know, you can, you know, it was just.
How many shades of color did you turn?
I was dumbfounded, you know, and obviously God was dealing with me about, you know, it's a shame that you have to go to
a raffle to do what the church should have done all along. Remember that? Because we were paying for our entire community to come to God in the concept of going into the wilderness and responding to the prophetic word. But that was hilarious. I'm like, this is not a lottery. And here I was on TV. What did I say? We're doing a lottery.
I want to share with you, we're here at the beginning of 2013, and it's so important for the season that we're about to enter in that you got to have a clear vision. I mean, you got to have a clear vision. Think about it. If you've got 20/20 vision, you don't know what I'm probably talking about eyes. I didn't realize it until I didn't have 20/20 vision. I remember I was working and I was messing with something up really close, and I realized I can't see this thing up close. It's like, what is wrong with this thing? You know, not wrong with me. But just not having, there's nothing more frustrating when you wear contacts or glasses and that type of thing. But you've probably seen it through your car windshield when it's not cleaned up well. And you just can't see good. Your vision is impaired. You don't need to have impaired vision for 2013. You need to get clear vision. You need to be able to see clearly. And you need to have a plan. Listen, there's expected to be great turmoil in the earth. Shiftings are taking place. Events that can really shake you up physically, mentally, and spiritually. And if you don't have a clear direction and an understanding in your life what really matters most to you prior to this happening, it may almost be impossible for you to get direction and get clear vision in the midst of it. You'll just have to survive it and get back to a place. If you don't have it now, and I encourage you to get it now, think about this. You know, if not having vision, it'll make you vulnerable to follow others who have clear vision, but it might not be godly vision. Think about it. Or one that's going to lead you into bondage, or something that's going to, you know, prevent you from being all that God's called you to be, or just being free. Mm-hmm. A person without a plan or a vision is always at the mercy of the man or the demon that possesses the man that has one. Let me say that again. A person without a plan is always at the mercy of the one who has one. But let me word this to you spiritually. A person without a plan or a vision is at the mercy of the man or the demon-possessed man that has a plan. You got to have a plan. Mm-hmm. You got to have a plan. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want you to just think about this and think. You can go back and listen to this on highlights just to hear it. But just sit down after praying and seeking out what is most important to you in regards to your values. It's so important to know what's valuable to you, because you might be hanging on to something that has no value to you. And when everything shakes, that's all you got left. And you're thinking like, why did I hang on to this? I sure wish I would have hung on to food. I mean, I never thought about, you know, not food being on the shelf. And then take pieces of paper. Once you kind of write down all these different things that are valuable to you, then take these little pieces of paper and write down one value per one piece of paper. So basically, just like checker pieces or whatever, you have all these pieces of paper and has one of your values written on those particular pieces of paper. Then begin to put them in order from the least to the greatest. For example, whatever you think is the most important to you, you put a 1 on it. And whatever's second most important to you, put a 2 on it. Then I want you to go all the way up to 5 and then remove, after you've numbered them all, you know, 1 to 100 or how many you have, take the number 1 through 5, put those aside, and then take all the rest of them and just kind of put them in a bag somewhere, push them away, put them in an envelope, get them out of your sight. And ask yourself, if these are the only 5 I have left, are these worth dying for? Are these worth living for? Or did something that I actually thought I could have, I just push it away? Because the truth is, you know, you can only live your life for a certain amount of things and aspects and values. You can have this idea. This is what the enemy's doing to everybody today. They're thinking that they can have everything and do everything and live for everything, that you can be a mother and a wife and a career and a job and a politician and all these different things. And all of a sudden, these books that some of the ladies are writing right now, which is one of them was the CEO of Coke, she said, I realized you just can't do it. You got to make up your mind what's valuable to you. And then some people say, you know, well, work's value to me. And she said, well, my family's valuable to me. And this is all of us, but that's just an example. And then I want you to take, when you have these 5 that are sitting there, you got 1 through 5, I want you to take the 5th one, and I want you just to remove it and put it aside. Not with those other ones, but just put it aside and look at those 4 right there. If that's all you had left, say, you know, a fire came in, like Hurricane Sandy came in the Northeast, or like fires come in California, or hurricanes in the Gulf Coast, you know, and that's all you have left of those 4 things. Are you satisfied with that? Or are you thinking, man, I should have kept that 5th one and done away with these? Well, if you have, get rid of 1 and swap it out, and now you have 4.
Mm-hmm.
So you have four. And number them 1 through 4, what is most important to you. And then I want you to take the fourth one away and go through the same process. If this is all I have left is these three right here, because you pulled the fourth one away, am I okay with that? And you repeat this process all the way down to, if I lost everything, but all I have is this number one thing, I would be okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that's God.
Mm-hmm.
That's my number one value, is God. Loving God, loving others, and leading others to the same. What's your number one value? Right now in America, money. Jobs, stuff, things. And it's really not. May not be your number one value, but you're living as if it is. And then when you lose all these things, if you didn't put God first in your life, it's going to be tough. But at any moment, you can call it to him. I want to encourage you, when you're starting this year out, sit down and write a plan. Make a clear vision for how it's going to be. This year is not going to be like other years. It's going to be a rough year. But it's going to be an okay year, because it's going to be a shaking and a sifting taking place. I mean, literally, physically, your soul could be shooken in this. Your spirit could be shaken. But understand that in this, a great harvest is going to come. But if you're jumping all over the place and you know, you didn't have a vision or a plan for how you're going to live this year on 2013, you're going to be in chaos and you're going to be in confusion. And it's because you didn't sit down like a wise person and write a plan. He says that a person without a vision will perish. And you know, some of the words prophesied, you know, from Steve Hill and other ones that God is speaking out of words, is that millions of people are going to die. On the face of it, something's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but we've seen different things, and it's going to cause major loss of life. Well, he says people without a vision will perish. Listen, take the time. Don't live this year like past years. Well, it's just going to happen. I'm just going to exist, and I'm going to show up with my job, and it'll always be there. The road will be there. Money will be in the bank. We don't have to worry about, you know, food. We'll just pick food up as it comes, and it'll always be on the shelf. You know, don't have to worry that the police will always be able to do what they're doing. Don't take it for granted. Have a year of gratitude for God and say, you know what, I'm going to put down what matters most. For it's our values that fuel us. It's the things that drive us. It gives us that you know, get up and go when we're living within our value system. And if we're not living within our value system, even though we tell ourselves that we are, it fights against us. Even though you may have the most money in your whole family or your community, if you got it outside your value system, you're not happy. If you get the promotion or the raise, but you're outside your value system, you know, your spirit's going like, so you still haven't got the number one thing in your life. And understand, by sitting down and making this plan, you can have a year, even though there's shaking, even though there's shifting, you can stick to your plan, because make it plain and clear now in the light, because when darkness comes, refuse to question what God make and refuse to question in darkness what God made clear to you in the light. Now's the time to put it down, when you can think clearly, pray clearly, read God's word clearly, because the time is coming where you're not going to be able to think as clear, because things are starting to shake and things are happening. And just hang on to that vision, because a vision speaks. It's plain. Write it plain and directly, you know, what's going to take place by faith and an alliance with God and allegiance to Jesus Christ. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.